Well, praise God. Amen. How many of you are blessed this morning? And if you don't know it, go ahead and raise your hand in faith. Because you're blessed. If you're in Christ, you're blessed. Amen. It has nothing to do with what you see in this natural realm. And that's the hardest lesson to learn sometimes. That you are blessed, 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 regardless. Amen. And so I have five different messages I'm going to preach this morning. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 15 quickly. Romans chapter 15, and let's look at verse 13. Now, these are one of those verses that kind of give us the understanding about how, if we already have it, then what else is there that needs to be done? How many of you understand what I'm talking about? If you already have joy, if you already have faith, if you already have peace and all those things because of what Christ did, well then, what else is there that needs to be done, in essence? And so sometimes, if you're not careful, when you understand this truth and this reality that we already have everything in Christ, we're not trying to get God to move, we're not trying to get hope, we're not trying to get joy, we're not trying to get peace, we're not all those things. We have them, but how many of you have discovered that life and the enemy tries to chip away at your joy, and at your hope, and at your peace? How many discovered that? Am I the only one? And so, Romans chapter 15 really answers this. If you really understand what Paul's saying here in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Now may the God of hope," which God? The God of hope. That's why hope is so important in the Christian life. When you lose your hope, you lose your joy. Now watch this. "Now may the God of hope fill you." Now wait a minute, I thought we were already filled. Now watch this. You are filled. If you're born again, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are filled, but that's not the end. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's not a one and done deal. We know it's done. We're not trying to apprehend something we don't have. There's a big difference there, because trying to get something you don't think you have is misery. How many of you discovered that one? It's always escaping you. It's always out there someplace. And you never seem to find it because it was never out there if you're in Christ. So it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." See, there's the key right there. In believing. I have discovered any time when it seems like I'm losing my joy. Now notice I said seems. Seems like I'm losing my peace. You can't lose your peace because Jesus is our peace and He's not lost. It just seems that way to us. And so we have to sometimes just look to ourselves and look to what the Word says and say, if I seem to be losing my joy, it's because I've stopped believing somewhere. I've started to believe the wrong report and started to get my eyes off of what God's report says. So when we believe, we are filled with joy and peace from the God of hope. Now watch what it says, "that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That's powerful. That's what it tells us over in Hebrews chapter 12. This should be one of your favorite verses. Hebrews chapter 12. If we look at verse 1 and 2, it really gives us the secret and the key to success in the Christian life. And in verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. How many of you know that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses? All of those people who have gone before us, who have seen God come through even when it looked hopeless and helpless. Hebrews chapter 11, read that next time you feel hopeless. And see what those guys did and how they kept believing and all those types of things and the result of what they believed. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. How many of you discovered that there's weights in this world? And the weights are right here. They're right here. They're right here, your eyes. It's not a real physical weight, folks. It's a weight that we ourselves put upon our own shoulders because we're focused on it. Could be the weight of sickness. The weight of lack in the area of finances. How many of you have ever had lack in the area of finances? How many have discovered that it gets your eyes, it screams at you, look at me, look at me, look at me. Doesn't it? And it tells you you're foolish for looking at the Word and what the Word says. Look at me, I'm real. Those are weights. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I believe that's talking about unbelief. Because all sin is based on unbelief. If it's a physical act of sin that we consider sin and it is sin, it's because of unbelief before you ever did it. Think about it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the weight, the race that is set before us. How do we do this? Well, the next verse tells us how we do it. Looking unto Jesus. Where's your eyes this morning? If we're losing hope, it's because our eyes are on the weights. You can't lose hope when you're looking unto Jesus. How many of you can say amen? Amen. It's impossible. That's why the devil's always chipping away at what we're looking at. The Christian life is so simple. We've made it complicated, the church as a whole. It is so simple, it takes faith to believe it's that simple. Because the devil will always say, that's not enough. But it is enough. Looking unto Jesus is enough. But you should be doing something. I am. I'm looking unto Jesus. I remember one time we needed a car. We needed a car. We just had our second child. They're big now. It's amazing how that happens. Whoo, you guys. Get ready. Enjoy every minute. Take as many pictures as possible. Because they go, whoop. What happened? I didn't get any older. What happened? And I remember we had had Rachel and we had a car. Now let me tell you, how many of you ever discovered? Now some of you may need to hear this. But when you start to walk out the plan that God has for your life, the devil steps up his attack. He steps up all the weights. He's trying to present you as, look at me. This is more real than what Jesus said. And we had gone to Bible school, and I'd gone to Bible school with quite a few other people as well. And God, one thing that was common is that everyone believed God told them to go to Bible school. But one thing we noticed, all of a sudden, many students started dropping out like flies. And it was usually one thing was in common about the reason why all of them dropped out. In almost every case, it was because finances. You know, the devil will use finances as one of his main targets and keys to get you to get your eyes off of Jesus. God tells a church to go forward with the preaching of the gospel, and all of a sudden the finances seem to dry up. What's the purpose for that? To back off of that. It's amazing to me, I've gone up to different pastors before, not here, but I've gone to different ones and tell them what I want to do, and, well, we don't have a budget for that. I didn't ask for a budget. Wasn't here. They told me, you have as much money as you need, Sean. No. See, I can say that. Steve's not here. So. But when we were in Bible school, a car that never broke down started breaking down like crazy. And don't think that when you step out to believe God, then that means it's going to be smooth sailing in the natural realm. I don't know about you, but you remember that time when Jesus told the disciples, okay, guys, let's go over to the other side? And they all got into a boat and a big old storm blew in. You think that was just by coincidence? You think Jesus, who was God in the flesh, rebuked God's storm that God sent? No, it wasn't God's storm. Think about that. Peace be still. You know what would have been a great testimony? You remember that time when Jesus was asleep in the boat? He's asleep, snoring, sloshing around, the water splashing all over him. I don't know how he was sleeping in that, have you? I think it was supernatural. I think God was teaching us something there. And John gets mad and says, don't you care? I think it was John or Peter, one of those guys. It's pretty safe, one of those. Don't you care that we are perishing? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, said, peace, be still. And he's like, what's the matter with you guys? You know what would have been a better testimony if John said, you're hogging the pillow, move over. Some of you need to meditate on that one. Let me tell you, Jesus wasn't sleeping because he was indifferent and unaware of the storm. He was sleeping because the storm had no power because his eyes weren't on the storm. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Oh man, could you imagine if John had said that? I think it was John. Anyway, it's okay. Don't come up here and slap me if it's Peter. He's one of those guys. What do you think Jesus would have said if John had woke him up and said, move over, I want to take a nap too? I bet you he would have got up and said, wow, I have not seen such great faith. Like he did with the centurion. Remember that? You don't have to come, Jesus. Just speak the word. Wow. That's what Jesus is looking for. It wasn't because all the circumstances were correct in the centurion's life, the leader. It wasn't because everything was correct. Everything was wrong. But he kept his eyes on Jesus. Now think about that. What blessed Jesus so much? He says, the guys that should know better don't know better, and the world believes me more than my people. I could tell a little testimony on that, but I was ministering to one guy back when I was in Bible school, and he was a young guy, and I just started talking to him. I don't know if I ever told the story, but I just started ministering to him, and he asked me for a ride to a lift to go home, and I didn't really want to give it. I said, okay, Lord, you must want me to take him home, so Lord, what is it you want me to say? Lord said, I just had this question come to my mind. How many of you have discovered that God speaks to you sometimes in just thoughts? And if we're not careful, we will say, surely this couldn't have been the Lord. Because it didn't come with an audible booming voice from heaven. It doesn't always happen that way. Matter of fact, most of the time that God speaks, he speaks to you in your spirit. And you sense it and you perceive. And so all I felt was, do you believe in miracles? So I'm driving him home, and of course, there's a little, the normal chit-chat that you do and that kind of thing. And I just, okay, do you believe in miracles? He said, you mean like an act of God? I said, yes. told me this big long story of one time when he was 16, he was out doing acid with his girlfriend. You know what I'm talking about, acid, right? Doing acid with his girlfriend, and they were tripping very, very hard. And they were in this lot, this vacant lot next to this church that had this big steeple. And all of a sudden, this light from heaven shone upon the steeple. And he knew there was God. There was a God. And I'm thinking in my head, Lord Jesus. This is not what I was expecting by a miracle. But you know what? That opened the door for me to share the gospel with this guy. And he was hungry. Hungry. And so I can't remember all the different store stuff he said, but I said, I said, now you know it's something bad happened because of the acid trip. I can't remember what it was. I said, but you know, God wasn't the one who did that. He said, of course it wasn't God. I did that to myself because of the acid. And I was thinking, wow, this guy knows more than the church. Because most Christians would have said, God did this to me. It's like, wow. Like that centurion, of course it wasn't. Little did I know that this kid was grew up in the, as a Jehovah's Witness. And he believed Jesus. And I bought him a Bible. I said, do you have a Bible? I said, no. I said, I'm going to buy you one. So I bought him a Bible. And guess what happened? 2 weeks later, he moved. I never saw him again. Now think about that. That was an incredible opportunity. But that was back when we were in Bible school. I remember we had this car that never broke down. And when we moved there and started to do what God wanted us to do, instead of it being smooth sailing, and listen to me, folks, don't listen to other believers when you step out to believe God, because most of them, especially if they have not stepped out to believe God, they don't have a clue what's supposed to happen. Because if you're not careful, you will listen to the wrong report. And they'll say, brother, this can't be God, because if it was God, everything would be perfect. I don't know about you, but was Jesus God's plan? Didn't all hell break out when he was born? To the point where God had to say, Joseph, take your son, the one you're watching. I know it's not your son, but you're watching. Take him to Egypt. Think about that. So don't listen to unbelieving believers who backed down when they tried to do something for God because the heat got turned up. Because you know why? When's the best time to rob a train? How many of you have ever seen those Westerns? And they're robbing a train. You know when the best time to rob a train is when the train has stopped. Not when it has a full head of steam. You'll kill yourself. So when the devil says, whoa, here's someone who's starting to believe God, we have to stop them now before they get rooted. So when you start to believe God, remember Mark chapter 4, I think I talked about this on the Wednesday nights, but in Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, it tells us that immediately when the person receives the word with gladness, immediately Satan tries to come and he brings afflictions and persecutions for the sake of the word, and because they have no root in themselves, they become offended and back away. Didn't say that they walk away from God. They just stop pressing forward in what God's told them. How many know what I'm talking about? I've had so many people believe in God for their marriage, and as soon as they start believing God, it gets worse. Good sign. You're on to something, or the devil would have left you alone. There's a saying that Andrew says a lot. He says, if you never run into the devil, it's because both of you are heading the same direction. How many of you been running? How many of you ever run into the devil? I'm talking about you knew it was supernatural opposition because you started believing God. I'm not talking about normal life. Everyone faces normal life stuff, folks. But when you start believing God, and all of a sudden, so our car started breaking down. The steering column broke. I don't know how many cars I've owned but my steering column broke without even having an accident. That is virtually impossible. My door broke. It was a two-door car, so I had to get in on Lisa's side and hop the hump. And here we have a daughter, Abigail, Rachel, first one. And so we put her in the back of this car, and I think when they were wheeling us out at the hospital, they looked at the car and like, that's what you're bringing your wife home in? They didn't say anything, but you could tell the thoughts. And the perfect car was perfect before we started doing what God told us to do. And so we were believing what God told us to do. And it would have been very simple and very easy for us to say, you know what? Let us go do something else because this thing isn't working out. A lot of other people that went to Bible school did that. I don't know. I hope that they... I don't know what's happened to them. I hope it's all turned out well for them. But you know what? If you don't lose hope, it was never a question for Lisa and I to even consider not believing what God told us. See, what God tells you is hope for you. Over in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, hope is the anchor for the soul. If you feel like your mind is going crazy, you don't have an anchor. The Word of God, how many have discovered, is like an anchor. Even when the winds are blowing, you're staying steadfast. When you're believing what God said. Amen? So let's turn back over to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like joy and peace. Sure beats discouragement, depression. Depression and discouragement, folks, are not for us. Let me tell you something, folks. You can take depression medication. You can. But you know what causes depression? What you're looking unto. It's really true. What we choose to look upon is what influences how we feel. It influences the joy, influences the peace. If we're looking unto Jesus, that means we're laying aside every weight, all that wind of opposition that the devil's trying to bring against us. The way we do that, it's not by throwing it off and focusing on all those things and trying to and renouncing all those things and all that kind of stuff. It's by looking unto Jesus we cast aside all those weights and the sin of unbelief and everything else that's holding us back. It's that simple. If we've lost hope, if we've lost peace, it's because we stopped believing somewhere. Sometimes, you know, that kind of a statement is some people take as kind of harsh. But you know what? It's the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When we start to discover that I don't have to be depressed, I don't have to have lack of joy, I don't have to have a lack of peace in my life. If Jesus is my peace, and He lives on the inside, and if He is my joy, and He lives on the inside, then I can, no matter what is happening in this realm, if I keep my eyes on Him, I can walk through this life having a peace and a joy that passes understanding. You know how it passes understanding? Because it doesn't make sense. I've discovered that life doesn't have to make sense. We don't have to make sense of life. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've sometimes been so busy trying to find an answer that struggle of trying to find an answer actually produces depression and death in my life. You don't have to have all the answers. Why did this happen? I don't know, but I know what is true, this. Well, how come so-and-so died when I prayed? I don't know, but pray for the next one. How come this need seemed to go unmet? I don't know, but don't stop believing. This journey is a walk, folks. One step ahead at a time. Just keep taking those steps, amen? You only stagnate if you stop walking. Think about that. Just keep taking one step at a time. Amen? Don't be so hard on yourself. I can be very hard on myself. Don't be so hard on yourself. God loves you. He has your best interest at heart. Just keep walking with Him. It's like what Corrine said, when you take a wrong step, hey, it's not the end of the world. God's going to catch you. I've taken wrong steps before, and you know what? God didn't get mad, just, whoop, that's it. How many of you know you can steer a boat when it's moving? But you can't steer a boat if it's sitting still. So keep walking with God. Take risks. You know, everyone that's helped change the world for Jesus took risks. Take risks. Don't be deceived that if you do what God's telling you to do, it'll all be perfect and the devil won't attack you. If you believe that, you're in for a grave disappointment. But just know that even if it seems like Jesus is asleep in the boat, go take a nap with him. Never leave your position of rest and your position of who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I was encouraged this morning. God's a good God. He has our best interest at heart. I had four other messages I was going to preach. I didn't get to them. That's all right. That's what God wanted me to say. Amen? Praise God. Let's just pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this word. We think that it was pinpoint and sharp and accurate and to the point. Father, I thank you that, Lord God, all you've asked us to do is to look unto you, Lord Jesus. Look unto you, the one who was pierced for us. The one who died for us so that we could live. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, as we keep our eyes upon you, we're not saying that there's nothing going on around us. We just deny all those things that are going on around us to have the right to take our eyes off of you. There is nothing too big, Lord God, that keeping our eyes upon you and keeping our faith in you, that you, Lord God, will not, the God of hope, fill us with all peace and all joy, that peace that passes all understanding. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person here today, Lord God. And I thank you this week. There may be some things that come up against us, or maybe we're going through some things right now. Father, I thank you that this word was like fire into that area of all of that brush, all of that stubble, Lord God, and burned it up. And they recognized they had their eyes on the wrong thing, and that walking with you is simple. Just keep our eyes upon you. Keep our eyes upon your truth. Keep our eyes upon your love, your grace, your mercy. And Father, I thank you, Lord, even if someone's made a mistake and they're saying, but Sean, I've made a mistake. I caused it myself. God doesn't care about that as much as you do. Look unto Him. You're already sorry. God knows that. It's not even the issue. Look unto Him. You have not disqualified yourself from going forward because of any mistake you made in the past. That's one of the biggest lies of the devil, that you have disqualified yourself because you blew it in the past. There's no such thing. Even if you really did blow it, there's no, your future is bright. Your future is so bright, you have to have sunshades to look at it. That's a word for someone here this morning. I don't know who it was. But you know, if there's anybody here, you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Maybe you were brought here by a friend. You need Jesus. He is awesome. We're not talking about joining a church or getting religion or finding out the 20 steps you must do to qualify yourself. We're talking about Jesus, the one who qualifies you because of what he did on the cross. If you would like to say, Jesus, I want you today. If that's you, raise your hand today. If that is you, we have one over here. Anybody else? Anybody else? I recognize most people. All right, brother, I'm just going to pray for you right now. I just want you from the heart. You don't have to come forward. But from the heart, all you have to do is just say, thank you, Jesus, that you did it all for me. You died for me. You died in my place, and I am forgiven when I come to you. So, Father, I thank you right now, this dear brother, because he put his faith in you, that you died for him, that you love him, that you desire relationship with him, and he desires a relationship with you, that he has come unto you and given you his life. Father, I thank you, Lord. Your word declares he's a new creation right now. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.